Welcome to the MMB Lifestyle Podcast, a lifestyle podcast where we learn about, share, and discuss topics around health, fitness, and personal development. My name is Mundia, and I will be your host. Welcome, listeners, to today's episode of the MMB Lifestyle Podcast. My friends, today I am honored to have a guest on the show. And she is all the way from Australia. Her name is Elise Di Giovanni. And I have to share a little bit of a backstory about how Elise and I met. So when I first joined Instagram a couple of years ago, I remember looking through accounts related to health and fitness because it played a big part in the start of my own journey. And I came across Elise's profile and there was a picture of her doing a pull-up. And I thought, wow, this woman looks incredibly strong. How is she doing what she's doing? I'm interested to follow her. And so I started to follow her and got so inspired, you know, in my own fitness journey in watching hers. And I also remember her once posting a video or so of her doing push-ups. And I was so flabbergasted at the point. I was like, how is she able to do those push-ups? And just to let you know where it's coming from, you know, she really played a huge, huge part in, you know, my own health and fitness journey in a really being a positive influence. And aside from the social media, so professionally, she's also an ex-athlete and she has various diplomas and certificates in the health and wellness space and has over 20 years of experience. And she also has a bachelor's of health science in paramedics and is a published author. And, you know, without further ado, I'm just going to hand it over. Welcome to the show, Elise. It is such a pleasure to have you.
It's amazing to be here. Thank you very much. I still can't believe I'm on the other side of the world to you right now, but it's so cool.
I know, literally, we are almost like 9 hours time difference or so. So you will never know what time we're actually doing this, you guys, wherever you are. Just know we have a 9 hour time difference.
We covered the whole day.
Yeah, exactly. And so tell us a little bit more about your background. You know, where are you from and where did you grow up?
So I grew up in a town called Brisbane, which is in Queensland. Queensland, they call the sunny state in Australia. Grew up in, Brisbane, was born and bred in Brisbane and then moved to the Gold Coast. A lot of people would know Surfers Paradise and the Gold Coast as a part of Australia. So I now live on the Gold Coast and have been here for about a good 16 years, but haven't really gone too far other than that's about an hour away from Brisbane to the Gold Coast. So
okay,
I've stayed close by from where I grew up.
And what was it like growing up in Brisbane?
Oh, loved it. It was the typical cul-de-sac. So we call it a cul-de-sac. I don't know what you call it. It's like the dead end street with the round part at the end of the street where you do a loop and come back the other way. So I lived on a cul-de-sac and we just had go-karts and we were basically out first thing in the morning. We would get food from neighbors. Like we didn't have to go home to eat. We would just be like running around the neighborhood, collecting food to eat along the way. And we'd be back at dusk and we'd just be playing outside all day long. So it was just the best childhood ever.
That sounds like absolute fun. Spending most of your time with your friends outdoors.
Yep.
Which is a bit different to when you think about it now in terms of what our, and I know you have a child as well. And how do you see the difference in terms of how he's growing up and how you did?
I know it's crazy, isn't it? Because you don't really trust, you know, I don't trust my son to go out without me too far. We're actually lucky. We moved into our first bought home and it's on a cul-de-sac. And the cul-de-sac that we're on has about 10 kids in the street and everyone in the street knows all the kids. So he's actually quite similarly growing up like I did, which is so good. But, and I know all the neighbors keep an eye out. So it's a really nice reassuring feeling that he's, you know, following my footsteps in the way I grew up. Less technology, more play out on the street. I think it's the best.
Absolutely. That's awesome to hear. And just going into a little bit about the industries that you've worked in. So I mentioned a couple of things in your bio, and I just want to focus a little bit on, you worked as a paramedic as well. You know, how did that go and for how long did you work as a paramedic?
Yep. So that was kind of my second health journey. I started off as a personal trainer. So I studied a diploma of recreational fitness because I wanted to teach lots of people about health and wellness. But then I was always interested in the injury, the ailments, the sickness, the disease. I know that sounds really morbid.
That sounds a bit sad, really. I mean, for the good, right?
Yeah.
For the good.
And I was like, well, what can I do to get all the injuries and sicknesses and diseases and pain?
And I'm like, where can I find them?
Where can I find this? And I was always a sticky beacon. Like if there was a car accident, I was like, oh, what's going on? I want to know. I want to know what's, I want to be there. I want to help. And I'm like, I've got to be a paramedic. I've got to become a paramedic and be right in the thick of things. So yeah, I studied a Bachelor of Science paramedics, and then I was a paramedic for 10 years. So quite a long chunk of my life. I absolutely loved it. Hard work, because it's long, long hours. They're 12-hour shifts, 4 to 5 days a week. So at that time in my life, that's all I did. I even stopped. I was an athlete before that, and I even had to stop all of that just to get the work load in, because I didn't want to, you know, get up at 6 a.m. and finish at 6 p.m., then go to the track and start training. So it took over my life at that time, but I absolutely loved it. It was amazing. I learned a lot.
I'm sure you did. And is there any particular moment in your career as a paramedic that stands out to you in terms of the memories that you have of it?
To be honest, I mean, all the jobs, I recall every job that I kind of have done that really sinks in my mind. And that's not probably what I remember about the job. It's the camaraderie of my fellow staff members. So being in a job that's as hardcore as being a paramedic is, and also being there for 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, that's your family. So you have to really have fun and enjoy them, like your staff members. So we get up to so much mischief. And I mean, like if someone fell asleep on the couch in the station, you'd put shaving cream all over their head, and then you'd get a call straight away and they'd wake up with shaving cream all over and be like, oh gosh, now I've got to go to a job with shaving cream all over my head. And like we'd have water fights in the station. Just that was the best part of it, I think.
That sounds so fun. And it's so important what you said about, you know, being able to trust and work with the people, you know, that you're working with on a daily basis, because you're around them so much, you know, sometimes at certain points, sometimes even more than your family as well.
Oh, 100%, way more. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, sometimes you have a partner for 3 months straight, so you'd really get close because you'd be spending 12-hour days with them 5 days a week. So you'd be super close to them, but I loved it.
Speaking a little bit more to the athletic side of you, you used to be a 100-meter hurdler. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. 100-meter hurdles was something I actually fell into. Not literally, but I've done that too. But in grade eight, they put the hurdles out and said, all right, we're doing hurdles today. And I was like, oh, I've never done this. I've never seen this before. And they're like, well, this is how you do it. And then I ran through them and everyone's mouths just dropped open and they just went, have you ever done that before? And I was like, no. And they're like, you have to get a coach and start training for that sport. And I was like, okay, it's pretty fun. Like, sure. So I got a coach that year, and the next year I landed in nationals.
Oh my goodness. Like literally talk about like a duck taking to water. So you literally
jumped
over hurdles, you know.
I just loved it. It was just like so easy. It was like walking for me.
That is fantastic to hear. And speaking more about the topic of mobility and movement. So you are also a mobility and movement coach, and you do a lot in that space. And later on, it would be great to hear more about what exactly you do. However, in our modern day life, you know, what do you feel in terms of leaders suffering in terms of that area of the mobility and movement, because we have such sedentary lives, you know, where we're sitting down a lot and things like that. How do you feel that impacts us in our just general health and well-being?
I just think we're not moving enough in a full range of motion. So if you think about your shoulder joint, we don't walk with our arms up in the air, or we don't walk in a swimming motion, yet that's what our shoulder joint actually does. So if we weren't given that movement, then, you know, why aren't we doing it? So we may move a lot, but we're not moving in our full range of motion through our joint structures. So if you think about your ankle, that rotates, yet we only move it up and down when we walk. So that's how we're becoming a little bit more sedentary, and especially if you are not doing exercise per se, like just general fitness, but then coupled with that, if you're not doing any kind of rehabilitation and mobility through the joint structures. We've got our physical fitness and we can run and swim and hike and do weights, but if we're not concentrating on what runs our physical fitness, which is our mechanical fitness, which is our joint structures, then we don't have our physical fitness. So that's why my big passion lies in teaching people about why it's so important to be mechanically fit.
Yeah. And you have various, you know, mobility programs and offerings. Now, do you do that only in person or do you do that online as well? And how would it work, for example, if somebody was interested in attending a program or class?
Yeah. So I have an online program. It's called the Reset Program. And I would say it's, if you're new to mobility and mobilizing the joint structures, then this is perfect for you, this type of program. It's a real confidence boosting program. So for someone who may have been a little bit sedentary for a while, doesn't know where to start, it's a great program to start with because it does teach you all about your joint structures, but also the basic movements of strength and flexibility as well. So that's online. I also work at a health retreat here in Australia. And luckily there I can come across many people and I help many people with their, you know, movement and mobility and just general fitness and health and well-being at that health retreat. So that's also amazing that I get to do that as well.
That's great.
And so it's both one-on-one and online. I'm everywhere.
Awesome. You have to be these days, right?
Oh, you do.
You
totally.
To these days. And the online program, is it something that lasts for a couple of days or is it, can people join per session? How does it work or where would they go?
Yeah. So you will become a member or a subscriber. So a member, you pay for 6 months and then you get access to everything that's within that website for the 6 months. So yeah, you just join and then you can follow along on all the videos that are in there, which is mobility, strength, stretch. There's brain exercises to increase the mobility of your body through teaching all of your senses through your brain and your motor cortex as well. Lots of stuff on there. So yeah, you just become a subscriber and it's all yours.
That's awesome to hear. And so clearly you get a lot out of coaching and just, you know, hearing you speak about it, one can hear the passion in your voice and how much you enjoy it. Is there anything frustrating that you find about it in terms of being a coach or a trainer?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, when someone steps in front of you and you give them as much energy and as much passion, as much education and information as possible, you can tell when they're not going to use it. Do you know what I mean? Like they give you this look like, yep. Yeah. And I just know it's not going to leave the door. There will be no follow through. And that's really frustrating for me because I really want to help people. So I can't help people that can't help themselves. That's my frustration.
Absolutely said it right. As a coach or a trainer, you want to be able to share your passion and all the benefits that this thing that you're doing has had, you know, in your own life. You want to share it with someone, but if they're not receptive to it or at that space where they really want to take it in, it doesn't help, right?
No, it doesn't help at all. Yeah. I've got a little quote about that, actually. It's almost like, wait, I have to find it for you.
Sure.
But you keep talking and I'll find it.
Okay. So, and you also mentioned as well that you have some retreats that you have. So these one day retreats, is this something like how well in advance do people have to sign up for that as well? And is that part of the subscription or is this something separate?
Yeah, no, I'm always putting things online, whether it's online classes like through Zoom. I've got an online class coming up next week, which is all about spine health. Especially if you sit down all day, you can mobilize through a foam roller with me and I teach you all about how to use your foam roller, but not generally rolling on it, more just for postural alignment. The health retreat or the day retreats that I do, it's just because I love being in nature and I want everyone else to be in nature with me. So we get out and enjoy life from the outside because I think that's really important for our body. But I'm always putting up different things. So, yeah, if you follow me, it's just like, what you got on next?
I know. It's so exciting to follow you on Instagram. I'm like, okay, what's she doing now? So it's so interesting and so inspiring as well, because it also, especially with social media, you know, it, the ability to impact and influence somebody's life for the good. Because when we see somebody else doing something, you know, certain behavior that we want to role model, it makes you think, oh, I can do that too. Or why not? Let me give it a try. So, and how do you feel about what is being, you know, about social media now? Because especially with the coronavirus and everything this year, there's been like a total, you know, explosion with, you know, online related content and programs and things like that. And how do you feel the influencers can kind of use that space, knowing that there are more people either following or viewing you online, you know? What would you say to like the huge influencers, you know?
I'm funny with social media. I have a love-hate relationship with it.
Don't we all? It's like...
Some days I'm like, I hate this thing. And I want to throw it down the toilet. But other days I need it because I want to try and spread my message out to the world. So I get quite frustrated with big, you know, influencers who are trying to, or who are spreading a message, but the back end doesn't show that through their energy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I guess I've got a really good gut feeling with people. So coming back to maybe not away from the influencers, but to yourself, I think the most important thing is if you are following someone, do you have a feeling of, yes, this person is amazing, this person's going to inspire me, or far out, this person drives me crazy and I dislike them? And if that's the case, why the hell are you following them? So, yeah, and if they don't give you any benefit, as in if you're just a, if it's just a scroll thing and you never interact with them, also why are you following them? Because it's just taking your time away. So I think, especially with social media, it's less is more, 100%.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. That I'm actually now already thinking about a lot of the accounts that I follow and just really thinking like, yeah, what are you getting from it? Because that impacts us as well. As much as we think sometimes that it doesn't, that you're just scrolling, it does impact you sometimes in ways that we know and other ways that we don't know. Just going to the topic of, you know, back to the nature topic and being outdoors. And you do a lot of things outdoors and you grow your own vegetables and things like that. So I have to tell you, I have the least green fingers ever. So if you give me a cactus plant, I will kill that thing somehow. I can't seem to grow things or plants, so to say.
You know, so, what I used to be like that.
Really? Okay, now I'm not feeling so bad because I try it with small things. I try like small potted plants. You know, they last for a little bit and then it just starts to, you know, and then my husband is like, you know, you have to water them, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, it needs to be a passion thing, I think, to grow vegetables. You need to have time and it's just like a passion of you love, you know, your CrossFit and your exercise, and you take your time to Google things and get information about that sort of stuff. That's like me and veggies. Me and being, you know, growing trees and growing vegetables. Like I'm Pinteresting like veggie patches. I'm like learning how to create, you know, get the seeds from the broccoli after they flowered. Like just, it's just a passion of mine. That's why I enjoy doing it.
And I think if you're interested in something as well, it creates that curiosity, right? And that leads you to reading up further on it and researching. Which is a good point that you mentioned. That's how I feel about when it comes to exercise and CrossFit or, you know, certain things about meals. We all have that thing that we have that interest in that we would, you know.
That you could spend your time follow through.
Yes,
yeah, you just want to follow through and read more and more and more. Yeah, we all have that.
So maybe later on in a couple of years, then my fingers will be a little bit greener and I'll maintain my own, you know, kind of garden or veg patch.
Yeah. And I'll give you tips.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And you also love heading out to the beach as well. I know you spend quite a bit of time there and you have some pets. Tell us a little bit more about that.
I do. I'm always out in nature. I just, the more of life I can soak into my veins, the better I feel. I'm such a solar powered person. So anywhere outside, I feel better. If I'm inside too long, I'm a different person. Yeah, I've got two pets. I've got two dogs. So that's what you asked me, isn't it? I've got
pets. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I got two dogs. One of them, so my main dog, Mo, she just had puppies, and I got to keep one of the babies. So now I've got the mum and the daughter.
Oh, that's great. And you mentioned about, you know, being indoors and just kind of speaking about really one of the big themes of this year, the coronavirus and being indoors. How did that impact you? Or are you in a location where you're not so much around, you know, many people around that you didn't totally feel the impact of having to, you know, to either be isolated or locked down and things like that?
We probably live in the best place in the world for that reason. Especially on the Gold Coast, we were locked down for 2 weeks, but we were able to go to the beach. We were able to go for a walk. We were able to get out and go to nature as exercise, etc. So I never quite felt the isolation of being locked down. I'm quite an introvert anyway, so I don't mind being locked down. but I'm lucky that I've got my own backyard and I've got my own space. So I certainly would be feel very different if I was locked in a hotel room without being able to go out. I don't know how I would handle that very well, to be honest. So yeah, we were very lucky where we are.
That's great. And now just speaking a little bit to your book. Now, you wrote a book. Can you tell us what the title of the book is and more about it? Because I know what the title is, but I want you to say it.
I've written two books, actually. But the first one is called WTF, I Can't Even Deal.
Yes, that's the one. That's the one.
So hopefully you know what WTF stands for. I wrote that for young adults. As a paramedic, I saw a lot of young teenagers struggle with mental health. And the 20 minutes I had with them in the back of the car wasn't enough for me to help their mindset and mentality. So I thought, what could I do to help? So the book's almost like a checklist, an emotional manual that they can, if they feel kind of shit, sad or sorry, they can go to this book as a starting point and go, what can I do myself to kind of pull myself out of this funk? Or, you know, is there anything in here that will bring my moods a little bit better or make me feel a little bit better? So that's why I created that book. WTF, I Can't Even Deal. It's very well.
It should
very
be an adult written version. Can you do an adult version? Because I was resonating with all of what you were saying. I'm like, this is applicable across the board.
Lots of adults have read that book and gone, oh my God, that's perfect. Yeah, so adults can read that as well. Yeah, and learn lots from it. Yeah, the other book I wrote was, it's called Under Construction, The Body Rebuild. It's kind of an adult version.
Oh, yes,
I
saw it on your website. Is it a digital version? Are those two products available digital? Yeah.
Yeah, digital version. It's my top 10 tools to switch on your central nervous system and to switch on the vitality within your body. Yeah, so that one's a really important one. If you are looking to get ahead of your health and get some tools in your belt, that every time you kind of feel sick or you feel unmotivated or you're just not feeling 100%, you can pull out a tool, one of these tools, and work through it, and hopefully it'll, you know, bring you back to that vitality.
So helpful. You know, I think when anybody writes a book or puts down something in writing, you know, that other people can use or in whatever form it is, it's so important. It's part of that wanting to share what your passion is, right? And what is important to you, you know, with other people. So awesome for doing that. Awesome. And now just speaking a little bit on the topic around mental health and things like that, would you have, you know, in your experience in the health and wellness space and paramedic as an athlete, clearly it needs a certain amount of mental strength, of course, with challenges that come up and things like that. How have you kind of found, are some things that you've found that have helped you to kind of maintain that, you know, to be in a healthy mental state or things that help you?
Yeah. It's creating space. And I think when you create space around your life, you create space in your mind. So if you're stuck inside, if you're staring at a screen, if everything's small and everything's coming at you, then that's exactly how you're going to feel. if you let it go, you go outside for a walk, you actually have space around you. You look to the horizon, your eyes see space in front of you. It clears your mind. That's a big one for me. So as soon as I feel overwhelmed, I'm like, I need to get out. I need to go for a walk. I need to be on the beach. I need to see vast distance in front of me. And it always helps. That's one of my tools. Yeah. Literally creating space. Yeah. It's like, and I call it, you've got to unclutter your gutter, and your gutter is your mind.
Oh, that's an awesome tip. Thanks for sharing that. Now, the MMB lifestyle purpose is about connecting, inspiring, and empowering people to live more fulfilled lives. What inspires you, and when do you feel your best self? I know you've mentioned a couple of things, but if you could just put it down in summary, you know, what inspires you, and when do you feel your best self?
I feel my best self when I'm doing things for me, when I'm putting myself first. I know that sounds maybe a little bit selfish, but when I can put myself first and have things aligned, where that's work, play, home, it just runs better and runs smoothly, and I feel happier in myself, and then everyone around me is going to feel those benefits of feeling happier. What inspires me, it's definitely just the go-getters in life. I love watching people who just get up every day and just go towards their goals or their dreams. It doesn't matter how big or small. The people that, you know, just have a smile on their face when behind closed doors things may be falling apart, but they're really just enjoying life as much as they can. I love them. They inspire me so much. They're just the go-getters, the livers, the dreamers, the doers.
Those sound like three pretty good groups of people.
They're the people I want to be around.
The levers, the dreamers, and the doers.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
They're the people I want to spend my days with.
Absolutely. Because it also impacts us, right? The people that are around us and what we see and do influences us. No matter how sometimes we think that it doesn't, that we are kind of, you know, resistant to it, it does, right?
Yep. What you see is how you feel.
Fantastic. And I know you spoke about, you know, the how you want to, you're in this space to really share and help people in various areas of their life, whether it's physically or mentally. And what kind of an impact would you like to leave, you know, on people's life if they would say, how would you like Elise to be remembered? You know, if you want to be remembered, what kind of is your takeaway?
I would like people to just say she's just motivated me just to do something about something. Like, you know, to take the next step or to improve their health goals or to be a better person. Elise was the one that just was that light to help me motivate to that next step. Like, if I could leave the world like that, I'd be a super happy human.
Well, you have absolutely been a big motivator for me and still are all these years. And I look forward to continuing following your journey, you know. So from me to you, definitely.
I love now that when you were looking at me, you were like, I wish I could do a push-up. Now I look at you and go, I wish I could do 100 push-ups like you.
Well, thank you for setting it off. You see what you did? You see what you did? This is all your fault. So thank you so much. And so just, you know, in kind of getting to the close of this session today, and I can't believe how quickly the time has gone by, really. If you had only 24 hours to live, what would you do? And considering that money would be no object, location is no object, what would you do? What would your last day kind of look like, your ideal last day?
I mean, I think I'd just pack my family up and we'd go for a hike up into the hills. We'd have a picnic up on an amazing view somewhere on a hilltop that overlooks the view of the world and just enjoy being outside. Very simple, but very rewarding for me.
That sounds lovely. A picnic with a view of the world. That sounds great. So where can people go to find you if they're interested in either your training, your coaching, getting your books, or, you know, various service offerings? And I will also include the descriptions, you know, in the show notes, but you can let us know as well.
Yeah. So just Elise Di Giovanni. That's a bit of a mouthful, but it's just ELLICEDEGIOVANNI.com. And that's the same handle for my Instagram as well. They're my main two, my Instagram and website.
Okay, great. And listeners, I will put all the links to Elise's social media, website, and Instagram in the description so you can get in touch with her. And if you don't follow her, please do. I promise you there's always something refreshing that is just going to come at the right time. And, you know, her messages are totally inspiring. And definitely head on over and follow her. And Elise, thank you so much for joining today. It has been a pleasure. I would not have imagined that, you know, 6-7 years later, here we are doing this podcast.
I know, it's great. And we have followed each other for such a long time. Yes, so literally. Good. I love it.
Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate it. And to the listeners, I thank you for hanging out with us today. And I look forward to sharing many more episodes. And until next time, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. Bye for now. You have been listening to the MMB Lifestyle Podcast. For more, please visit mmblifestyle.com. Or you can also follow the MMB Lifestyle Instagram page at mmb.lifestyle.